Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much just being here to worship you, to raise our voice and singing and praise you. And for the rest of the time, we give the glory to you, Father. And I also pray the Holy Spirit with me, using me to communicate a message about the truth, unvarnished truth of life. And I also pray the Holy Spirit will be with all your people in this room, so you can hear your message. And I give the glory to you, and I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Unvanished truth of life. So today is the last sermon of the series about the truth of life. The sermon PowerPoint is One Great Task. You would find out last week this event happened in Las Vegas, and the whole nation very much prayed for that event or the impact of that event. And when I saw the event, I remember one of the great writers of the 18th century or the 19th century, he made the remark, when a man knows he will be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates the mind wonderfully. When you know you are about to die, you don't waste your time or your words. You get right to the point. But again, a lot of people, they went to the event at Las Vegas. They don't know what would happen. They're supposed to be enjoying the concert, the country music concert. But again, the result, or when things happen, you know the result. It's put me in the perspective. A lot of people out there, or even us, do we know what would happen? When Paul, he wrote to Timothy while he in chains in the prison in Rome, under the sentence of imminent death, his days were numbered. And the numbers were quickly running out. So Paul, he knew he would never get out of the prison alive. And that's the fact. And that's the reason why he wrote a letter to Timothy at that time. So in that setting, Paul, he gave advice to young Timothy. Just like me, give advice to you. Most of you are young people. He admonished him to live his life in a certain way. He employed various roles to communication of his instruction. So today I will share with you what exactly Paul tried to communicate to young Timothy. And I think it's the same message can be applied to you. Three things about the truth of life. He advised young Timothy, be strong in the Christ. Be committed to Jesus. Be active for God's cause. You would understand from the last survey before Las Vegas event, if you go out there and ask the people, 100 people or 1,000 people, it doesn't matter, 20% of the people will wonder what would happen when the person died. 20% of them. But after the Las Vegas event, if you go around Houston and ask, and the number go up to 40%. So from that perspective, there is a window of opportunity for any event like that, just like Las Vegas. It's the opportunity for the Christian. And we need to use the opportunity the Lord provides to us to share the message. So that's the reason why the same thing, even though in the chaos, Paul, he still sent a message to young Timothy, you young people out there, make sure you're strong in Christ, make sure you commit to Christ, and make sure you are active because God calls. So what exactly be strong in the Christ? He said, you, therefore my sons, or my daughter, be strong in the Christ that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, Commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So what exactly he tried to tell young Timothy? He said, be an obedient child who is strong in the Lord. You would find out when time is tough. Sometimes you feel like give up. But the God would say, be strong. To be strong speaks of the moral courage in the face of unrelenting opposition. Be strong in Christ means that you don't rely on yourself. We don't rely on ourselves when times are tough. We rely on the Lord alone. So when you interview the people, if you have a chance to read the news through Las Vegas, you find out it's American or the young people, they're very resilient, okay? They know there is certain purpose in life. They need to move forward, okay? And they be strong. They rely on the Lord for that. And secondly, it also means be a flaming evangelist who is faithful to sharing God's message. And the thing that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. His message is very simple. Share what you have been taught. We teach each other. We pass it along. So whatever your belief system, whatever you learn from your God's word, he says, share. We don't keep the truth to ourselves. Let's go back to the definition a little bit. The word evangelist is mean with a passion. This word, evangelist, is very much once is exclusive to the Christian only. But however, today world, some of you work in the business world, the word evangelist used in business and other contexts. It is the word, if the person when trying to sell the products, you know, he communicate with excitement about the products, or about the job, about the benefit, the joys of the products, or even the movement. So suddenly, the word evangelist, when you're thinking about, oh, you know, it's just for the Christian, but reality now is spread on over the world. So sometimes I'm kept wondering why the salesperson is so exciting about the product. Let's just say Coca-Cola or Tylenol or whatever, you know, even the makeup or whatever, so exciting about talking about the products. But however, when we talk about the Christ, and suddenly the excitement is gone. When I still work as executive at a compact, and I had the opportunity to go to China, Beijing. I had a meeting with the top executive. They tried to open the franchise of McDonald's in Beijing. And within 1 year, he opened about 17 or 18 something about McDonald's in Beijing. So I said, what happened? So he said, Hong San, you have to imagine with me, the Chinese food is very, very good, delicious. And here, I'm come to Beijing and try to sell the product. McDonald's is only two buns and the dry meat and then few lettuce and tomato and some American sauce. They call ketchup or mustard put on it. So talking about just a bread alone, what I thought, and the Chinese food. So how the world you can bring McDonald's, the hamburger, the Big Mac to Chinese culture, the food system. So it means you have to change the whole mindset of the people. Have to make the people exciting about hamburger. Reprogram their mind. And suddenly, people go to McDonald's, it's a big deal. They have to get in line. You go to McDonald's, okay? And suddenly people break away from the Chinese delicious food to have the hamburger and sit in so nice environment and so proud about they have the hamburger. And it turned out to be he's a Christian. He's the one who introduced me to evangelism explosion. So he asked me, how long the gospel share in Vietnam? I said about 100 years, 80, 90 years. So why the gospel or is not spread in Vietnam. If the people can get excited about hamburger in the Chinese delicious food, and why they're not excited about Christ? Do you treat Christ as below whatever the belief system? Do you exciting about Christ? Just like when I bring McDonald's to Beijing, I'm so exciting about the hamburger. And people, when they see me so exciting about Big Mac, and suddenly they create the curiosity, they need to try McDonald's hamburger. And also create a culture of all the lettuce we be grow in China. So he not just sell the hamburger, but he sell the whole agriculture system. Okay? It's a clean vegetable. It's organic cow fat meat. And the same thing, if we really exciting about Christ to spread the gospel, do we exciting enough so we live the life just like Christ? We study God's word and we're so excited about what we learn, we experience with, so we can share the message to impact the people. So just like this executive, he not just sell the McDonald's, the hamburger, but he sell the whole system of how to create the hamburger. That reason why when we talk about being flaming evangelist, we don't just talk, but do you really faithful? Do you really take Christ in as you, impact you, so you can share the message? That's what it meant. And you would find out when you study through in verse 2, they say, you have from me, and then commit to faithful man, they be able to teach other also. So when you read verse 2, you find out roughly about four generations. Verse 2, about four generations, was mentioned in one verse. First generation is Pon. And Pon transferred the information or belief system to second generation is Timothy. And then he asked Timothy, get it to the third generation is faithful man. And the fourth generation to the people can teach other. And the same thing, you know, when you learn, you need to share or teach other people. That's the whole concept of evangelism. Train the people, send the people out, and continue the process. I'm so glad some of you now lead in Bible study. It means you apply the principle and concept which Paul teach Timothy to do. And secondly, he said, be committed to Jesus. Verse 3 to 7, you, young people, Timothy, young man, therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangle himself with affair of this life, that he may please him to enlist him as a soldier. And also, if anyone compete in athletics, he is not crowned unless he compete according to the rule. A hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding of all things. So Paul, he tried to communicate to Timothy. He said, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul, he loved to employ military illustration. He grew up, he lived in the military state. And he was in the prison himself, surrounded by the soldiers. So he described the characteristic of the good soldier of Jesus Christ. We understand follow Christ is not easy. We have seen, just like the word in one of the American proverbs said, growing old is not for sissies. The same thing, being follow Christ is not for sissies either. So it means it's tough. Follow Christ is tough. It's not easy. So it requires the character, the strength of the character, the fortitude to follow the way of the cross. It's easy to say, yes, I follow Christ. But reality, our action, do we really follow Christ? So the word and the action had to be matched. And you understand the Bible, never in the Bible, promise to the believer is an easy road to follow Christ, or the safe passage to follow Christ. So what he tried to communicate, suffering is a badge of discipleship. We have to expect it, and we have to endure it. So he said, like, endure the suffering. Because go through life, we would go through a lot of trial. But how we handle it, how we endure it, perseverance is one of the characteristics of the Christian. And we, all of us, have to go through. The same thing, you go to school, you have to endure. How many years in high school? 4 years? Okay, middle school, and then 4 years college, some of you, and then maybe professional school. You have to go through endurance process. Perseverance is a good training so we can face life. Secondly, he's talking about, as a good soldier, he doesn't entangle in the affair of the world. What exactly does it mean? It means, as a soldier, our focus is always pleasing the Lord alone. So he's talking about we have to be totally commit out, just like as a soldier, to the commanding officer. Some of you are not in the army. Well, we have some of the former officer. Always had to follow the commanding officer, the one who enlists us. The same thing, as a believer, we serve only to one boss, and his name is Jesus Christ, and that's the boss. By following him, obedience to him, it gives us the strength to complete the task or complete the process of endurance. So what I'm trying to communicate to you, we only have to please one audience of one boss. His name is Jesus. We please one audience of one, and his name is Jesus Christ. And as long as we focus on that, everything will be found in the place. Because we are in the Lord's army, so we have to honor him. We obey him and spread his name any opportunity we can. But he also jumped into say, be disciplined athletics who play according to the rule in verse 5. Paul, if you study him, he also loved to use the athletic terminology in his writing. And you would understand the way he grew up under the Greek and the Romans. The Greek and Romans, they love sport. Like the Olympics, the Olympian, and all of that event is from the Greek. So they love that. They love the games. And with the Greek, the games event is so important to them. So Paul, he used the terminology so Timothy and the people at that time would understand. For us, probably would be basketball or football, NFL or NBA, something like that, okay? So he used that terminology. So Paul, if you study in chapter 4, you would find out he asked Timothy had to exercise like the athlete, had to exercise. Some of you play basketball, probably the coach would ask you to go through a lot of exercise to increase your strength. You had to go through the strength exercise and the endurance exercise. Sometimes he would ask you to run, I don't know how many laps, not only run, but also jump and shoot, all of that stuff, to increase your endurance for the game. So in chapter 4, he says, exercise like the athletes. But he also, but in verse 5 here, he's talking about how to obey the rule. In the Greek game, or even any game, the judge, they would very careful enforce the rule. Okay? And if you violate the rule, you're out. Any game. Some of you play basket, you know. You may make the basket, but you hold somebody, you violate the rule, that basket would not count. So the rule of the game is also important. So if anyone gets caught breaking the rules, the competitor will be disqualified. It means game's over. So as believers, we play by the rules God laid down. And when we do, we will get the reward from Christ. And that's the name of the game as a Christian. So Paul, when he wrote this letter to Timothy, he emphasized was not only obey God's words, no matter what. We have to obey God's word no matter what people may say. Because the people may say a lot to put us out of the game as a Christian. So we are not compete to please the people, but to please Jesus Christ. And how do we get that rule? That's the reason why we have to go back to the principle of the rule, is mean the scripture, the Bible. So that's the reason why I always encourage you, study God's word, discuss it, so God's word or the rule of Christ can be in us. So become part of our nature, so we can recognize something we should do or something we should not do. And that the rule book of Christ. And also God's words also telling us to go. So we should go on over the world to tell people about Christ. Because that's also the rule of the game when we follow Christ. But Paul also later on, in verse 6 and 7, he jumped into had to be hard-working farmer. Hard-working farmer who always focus on the future harvest. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crop. Consider what I say, may the Lord give you understanding of all things. As a farmer, when he grow crop, he always look about future. What is the end result of the future? Farming is also another favorite image of Paul. So he wrote the farmer just cannot just plant the seed and then walk away. The farmer cannot, okay, I plant the seed, I walk away. You would find out the land or the soil will grow wheat. So that's the reason why the discipline of the farmer, not only we plant the seed, but we all have to pick the wheat, we have to water, but the most difficult part of the farmer is to wait. You plant the seed, you have to remove the wheat, you put in the water, you feed the water, and then we have to wait for the result. Most of people, even me, or all of you, maybe some of you, sometimes we lost patience to wait for the completion. So all of that is required work as a farmer. Required work, farming required work. So we cannot just leave the field for itself because nobody got it, it will grow wheat. So sharing the message is much like the farmer work. Cultivating the relationship, spreading the seed of the gospel, wait for the word, it's mean the seed, to germinate in the person's soul. And hopefully the seed will take roots and the person come in faith in Jesus Christ. Evangelism is a hard work. It requires patience. It's always look to the future of the harvest. And when the harvest come, those who share the message will be the first one to enjoy his blessing. The joy of seeing the person come to faith in Christ is a great reward. And the same thing, some of you used to go to school, probably still in high school, probably just start college. You have to look at the harvest time. It's been the time when you complete at the harvest. And it's very, very tough. For the road to get there is very tough. It requires a lot of endurance. Plant, weed, pick the weed, water it, and wait. It requires all of that. And the harvest is always at the end. We have to pay the price of the hard work. But lastly, he's talking about be active for God's cause. Everything we do have to have with God cause in there. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation, which is in Jesus Christ, with eternal glory. You would find out, sometimes we said, Oh, keep in mind Jesus Christ. We always say that. But what exactly it means when the people do you, oh, make sure, keep in mind Jesus Christ. If with my translation, I would translate, remember Jesus Christ. It sounds like the word, remember Las Vegas, remember Harvey, remember Pearl Harbor. But exactly the word mean is encouragement of Jesus Christ to his follower. He died, but he already rose from the dead. He already resurrected. He showed the suffering produced glory. And sometimes it seems like we get defeat, but reality, it seems like defeat, but it comes to victory. You and I, sometimes we feel like we may feel defeated. And sometimes we feel like we get bounced by external environment, something we cannot control. We have that feeling. But God's word cannot be bounced. And also, the gospel of Jesus Christ brings salvation. That's what we need to remember. For that reason, for any circumstances, we have to magnify the name of Jesus. We share the gospel message. We believe in the cause. We know in the victory will come. So we cannot lose hope, and we grow weary, ignore our task, or forfeit our calling. Each one of you, God calling you different. Some of you, God calling you to complete your education, to have some harvest, whatever, the plan for the future. We don't know, but we need to complete the task. And that, if Christ go through all the process and suffering, and we can see the victory, the same thing, we can go through the suffering or whatever we go through. But we have to see if Christ can handle that task. Huge one through his life. Anything we face now is just minute. It's not that great. It's given us so we can move forward for the future, for everything we do, or even the church. So what exactly he tried to communicate to Timothy when Timothy, in the situation, his teacher is in jail. He don't even know the future. A lot of people against the church, and he have to move forward. So the message he communicate, Paul communicate to Timothy, and I think the same message communicate to you in whatever your faith supply. Be strong in Christ. Commit to Christ. Commit to Christ for your marriage life. Commit to Christ for your school. Commit to Christ when you take care of your patients at work, or whatever you do, and be active to God's cause. And we need to understand exactly God's calling. And I'll stand up so we can read this together. And you know the routine. We read first time exactly, and then you try to put yourself in this verse, okay? And let's have fun to do this. Don't be so serious. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. If you put you, your name in there. And if you, my son, if you guy, my son, but if you lady, put your daughter, okay? My daughter, that kind of thing. You understand what I'm talking about? Got it? Okay. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much because your word reminding us, communicate to us. We have to be strong in the Christ. We have to commit to you. Whatever we do, we are active for your cause. We love you and we do everything in your name to glorify you, Father. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all the young people from now and forever. Amen.